I'm on.
You remembered. Week I spoke briefly about the Saturday evening fellowship I've for several years before becoming pastor here. It is reminiscent of a small New Testament home church. And the reason I brought it up was because of the deep and abiding love that I experienced. Cancer the previous week.
She succumbed to complications and went to be with
the Lord. I apologize. I'm going to need divine strength to get through this morning. She was a dear friend. She was deeply loved. This went home and took his own life. Rather than face life without Martha, within a couple of hours, loved members. I wanted to share that this morning for a couple of reasons. Many of you are aware of what I've just told you already, or you've heard whispers of it. It's public knowledge, so it's not gossip being handed around, but I just wanted my brothers and sisters in this book. On Tuesday, I was delivering Martha's eulogy. Real. The other reason I wanted to share this is
that the last text that I had with Martha was her concern for my son.
And to let me know that she was praying. Martha was known for her deep, fervent prayer. She had
profound love for those
she was surrounded
by, and it often drove her to the ministry. There's a
scriptural example of prayer I thought I might bring up this morning. Job,
of course, prayed for
his friends.
Moses prayed for
Aaron and Mary. David
prayed for Solomon.
Daniel prayed for his people. Disciples. The
Jerusalem church prayed for Peter's release from prison.
Epaphras prayed
for the people of the Colossian church. If you're going to be able to look at Colossians, go to the
church. Hegesippus.
A show of hands, how many of you thought of naming
your children Hegesippus? Nobody right now. Okay. Immediately after the apostles, and he gives his account in what's called the fifth book of his memoirs, James, the half-brother of Jesus. Anybody know what his nickname was? Old Camel Knees. Old Camel Knees. Because of the thick calluses on his knees from the time he spent praying. Called my friend Martha Old Camel Knees. And with that, why don't we begin with prayer? God, I'm going to ask for myself that you would give me strength today to get through this message on prayer. God, that we would each have our hearts opened up to what you would have us learn today from that. And I'm grateful to be bless God's people today. They give me strength. They energize me, and I thank you for them. I pray these things. So
we're going to begin reading in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul says this, "For this reason we also,
from the day we heard about you, have not ceased praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that
you may live worthily of the Lord and please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good deed, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might,
for the display of all patience and steadfastness, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." So in this passage, Paul expresses his prayer for the Colossians, and he's emphasizing spiritual wisdom, understanding, and the ultimate goal of living a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit.
In verse 9, it starts out with, "For this reason." The Greek says, "through this."
But for what reason was it that Paul is talking about? It's the reason that we looked at last week, that the gospel of grace brings about
spiritual growth, resulting in those three really important things:
faith,
hope, and love, in the fellowship. And Paul says that
since he had heard about them,
he hasn't stopped praying for them
since.
And so there's a couple of pronouns we need to
take a
by. Because Paul says, "We have been praying for you."
Right? Who's the we?
And Paul and his cohort, but it's probably specifically Epaphras, who had
gone from the church at of Colossae and gone to Paul
in prison in Rome and was visiting with him there
and telling him what was happening in the church, right? There was some
things that were going on that he wanted to talk to Paul about, especially
some heresy getting free
in the church. And so Epaphras is one of them.
Timothy is probably also another one. And there's maybe
others. I'm not sure exactly who all of them
are, but those two probably for sure.
Well, what are they praying
for?
It says that they're asking God to fill them with the knowledge of
His will.
And if you were with us
last week, you might remember that I said pay careful
attention
to that word knowledge. That word knowledge. So in the Greek, it's
this word right here,
epignosis. This is a kind of a crisis of two Greek words. The word for knowledge is gnosis.
And of course, that
is where the Gnostics
get their name from,
right? Because they had secret knowledge. And so epignosis is even better. Greater
knowledge
than what some people have been spreading within the church, the gnosis. So I want you to remember this knowledge, especially what Paul says is the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. We might sum that up in one word, and that is discernment. It's a word that we can
toss around
Christian circles. It's the ability to perceive, to understand, to make sound judgments or decisions, often by distinguishing between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong,
or between relevant and irrelevant information.
And in this case, Paul is asking for divine assistance in that regard. Did I forget to bring up my first point there? I think I might have. I had a slide there for three P's. I really did great alliteration. And so did I mess it up? I messed it up, didn't I, in the slides? That's okay. I've got some coming up. So I'm really proud of my alliteration this week, and I messed up the slide. I can't believe that. Anyway.
Okay, so let's get down to verse 10.
So it says, Paul is asking God for those things so that you might live
a life worthy
of the calling to God in all respects, bearing fruit, he says. Where fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Spiritual fruit is the byproduct of living out
the Christian life. And here are some examples of other spiritual fruit. Living righteously. I hope I got that slide. There we go. Being righteous. Right? That's a spiritual fruit. Praising God in Hebrews, that's a spiritual fruit. And boy, did we praise God this morning. Wow. It sounded amazing. We're
bearing fruit here.
Giving
money
is a spiritual fruit, it says over in
Romans.
Living a godly life over in Hebrews. And then the ones that I just mentioned are over in Galatians, if you want to take a look at displaying holy attitudes. That's the joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And also, Paul says, growing in the, are you ready? Growing in the knowledge of God. You can go back. I think, do I have 10 up there again? Put 10 back up there. Verse 10. Growing in the knowledge of God. There's that word again. Epigenosis. It just keeps popping up. Right? That's why we have to pay attention to it. Paul doesn't say things on accident, neither does God. Right? And Paul is addressing some specific things in this church, and that's why
we're seeing these things popping up. What's the other side of the coin of epigenosis,
this great knowledge of God? We find it over in Ephesians 4, and we're going to take a look at that.
It was he who gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, that is to build up the body of Christ,
until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full strength. So this is that knowledge.
And so it says, why do we need that
knowledge? So we are no longer to be children tossed back and forth by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, by the
trickery of people who craftily carry out their deceitful schemes.
So this knowledge that Paul is praying for us, mature as believers, this knowledge of God, the other side of that coin is to be tossed about by waves of trickery and along. So that's why this is important. Paul is praying for this
very important thing.
Sorry? Oh! This is, I think this is the next one. This isn't the first one, but this is the next one. So thank you for that. So after he
gets through
with this, Paul is going to give us a particular
Shouldn't I?
A petition for persistent power. We're going to look at that in 111. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, the
display of all patience and steadfastness. And
so he's praying for the church at Colossae to muster their strength and stand strong, right? No. He's praying for God's strength, right? He's praying for God's mighty power.
That's what he's doing.
The Greek word there
is one that you're going to like. I love it.
It's dunamis. It's where we get our word for dynamite. Dynamite, right? Dunamis. And there's actually two in that verse. One is the, this is the noun form, but also the verbal form is in this verse also, where it says being strengthened, right? This is that dunamis in all power according to God's glorious might. In all power according to God's might. And then it's, what does this divine power produce? It's the display of all patience and steadfastness. What these words mean is being able to bear up under provocation, forbearance, patience towards others, the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty. In the face of difficulty. I need divine power in my life in regard to both of these. I'm glad that my wife isn't here to talk about patience. And she would be shouting, amen, amen. Okay, our next PPP, praise for powerful position. I can't believe I left out the first one. I must have deleted it, jeez. Oh well, you'll just have to believe me that it was great. Praise for powerful position. Let's turn to verse 12. In the light. Here's another example of kind of strange numbering. We saw this last week. Remember, the numbers in the text are not divinely inspired, right? We put those in so we can all be on the same page. In the Greek text, it says this, with joy giving thanks to the Father. The joy part is on the previous verse, but it should be attached to this one right here. It says, with joy, giving thanks to the Father. The translation, as you can see on the screen, it says qualified, but the word there means God has made us sufficient. God has made us sufficient. He has empowered us where we weren't sufficient before. We weren't sufficient before, but He has made us sufficient through Christ's sacrifice. We belong. We've talked about that many times. It's both a already and not yet kingdom. We are already members of that kingdom, but one day that kingdom will physically be here and Christ will be reigning on the throne of David. Verse 14. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then I want you to go back to verse 12. That is why we joyfully give thanks in our prayers. And that should have every one of us just shouting amen. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. That is why we joyfully give thanks. Reminds us, or he reminds the Colossians that Christ has delivered them from darkness. I hope that you can see even small faithful prayers have an impact both on ourselves and on our community. It encourages us to pray for spiritual growth and recognize the power of prayer in action. It's not just a personal communication with God. It's also a source of strength and growth for the church members. This passage emphasizes that praying for one another leads to collective strength
in action.
This passage points to Christ as the source of spiritual wisdom and understanding, and reflects the larger narrative of the Bible,
centered on our need for Christ's influence in our lives. Good fruit.
Small prayers can lead to significant transformation in both the church and the community, guided by the wisdom and the power of Christ. We remind ourselves and others
of our
awareness of His
redemption. We pray for others to experience deliverance. Prayer is transformative, especially for me. It's transformative for me. The power of prayer is not about me manipulating God, it's about my desires. God may or may not bring about the things that I request of Him. Prayer is about bringing my understanding in line with His will. In conformity with
Him. My son recently had a seizure. And
jumped from his balcony on the second floor to get help and broke his leg. It's not my desire. Grateful to have another day with my son. Last week we talked about the deep love that the Colossians had for one another and for all the saints.
And one of the characteristics displayed by those
with a deep and abiding love for one another. Just like my friend Martha was known for her prayers for I'm going to upset people today. We're going to do things different. In fact, you know what? I think we may, I may bring the worship band back up here real quick if you guys want to come up here.
We may do that
first song.